The lawyer asked a really good question. Now, as a lawyer, I'm proud of him. But he asked an essential question. Is what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why is that an essential question? Because he's asking, he's already made the judgment that my future, my highest good is life eternal. It's life with and for God. And the I that's asking that question is one that already knows that they are a creature, as our second reading says, created in the image and likeness of God, who is made in and through God. Now, I'm going to suggest that that's not necessarily the question that most people in Charlottesville would have asked, or maybe even most people in this church today. I'm going to suggest that maybe some of you might have asked a question something like this: what do I need to do to be happy? And it sounds like the same question, doesn't it? It's not the same question. What do I need to do to be happy means I'm the one that gets to judge what is happiness for me, and it has doesn't necessarily have anything to do with a relationship with God. And the I that is asking that question is the center of the universe. There is a Catholic writer that I like a lot, Peter Kreeft, and he had some interesting comments about how biblically minded people think differently than modern people. And he had a couple of statements that I sort of memorized. I hope I get them out. He says, there was a prominent Christian businessman who was found out to be a thief and a bigamist. There's also a traditional Christian denomination that has come out in favor of a woman's right to an abortion. The first statement is shocking. The second one is more so. Why? There was a prominent Christian writer and pastor who left his wife and children and married and for another woman. And then he wrote a book to justify it. The first statement is shocking. The second one is more shocking. Why? There are probably as many Christians that get divorced as non-Christians. There are most Christian denominations approve of divorce. The first statement is shocking. The second one is more shocking. Why? Each of the first statements has to do with basic hypocrisy, not practicing what you preach. But the second statement, what's happening is something entirely new. It's making hypocrisy impossible because you say it's not even wrong. That's why it is even more shocking. And so one of the things about virtue and vice is I'm going to be starting a series of homilies over the next 7 weeks over virtue. What makes us, what makes you you? What makes you human? Because Jesus has something revolutionary to say about virtue. You know, when we talk about the virtues, by the way, we're going to be talking through the Gospels. I've traced through the Gospels how each of the next 7 weeks talks about one of the traditional virtues. There are the theological virtues, those virtues that were revealed to us by God: faith, hope, and love. And today we're going to talk about love. Faith, hope, and love. But then there are those that we can know by our human reason or our natural reason, or as our first reading talked about, those things that are already put in our hearts by our creation. The book of Deuteronomy talks about that. And those virtues, I'm hoping you all, this is not new to you, are prudence, temperance, justice, and courage. So we're going to be talking about all of those during the time. Now, I mentioned that Jesus has something revolutionary to say about virtue. He said, you might be in your mind, revolutionary about virtue? That seems like the most traditional thing in the world. Remember, Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter to James Madison. He said, a little revolution every once in a while is a good thing. And in an age where everything grows, virtue is revolutionary. In an age when we're sort of going pell-mell towards annihilation, tradition is the knight on the white horse. In the gospel today, Jesus turns the question back on the scholar of the law. He says, how do you read it? And he answers back, you shall love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, all your being. And that's the first part of the law. Now, how revolutionary is that? We hear it all the time, right? Well, it's this revolutionary. Do you consider yourself a Catholic Christian before you consider yourself an American? Do you consider yourself a Catholic Christian before you consider the love of your spouse? Do you consider the love of God before you consider the love of the child that might be sitting right next to you right now? Because that's what it means. If we, you know, all of those things are good. All of those things are wonderful. But if we get the balance wrong, we get everything wrong. I mean, I hear it, you know, all the time. You know, make it very practical. You know, sometimes I've had folks who've gone to their children's house for a holiday, and they said, you know, Father, I couldn't go to Mass because my children don't go to Mass, and I didn't want to make them feel guilty by not going to Mass. Guess what? This is what this means in this particular moment. You know, this is hard stuff. This is radical stuff. This is revolutionary stuff. It's all the same, because what is sometimes the virtue that most Americans says is be nice. And if you're not nice, you're not being virtuous. That's not what Jesus says. It's living these virtues out with strength and with power. Let's talk about the love of neighbor. How revolutionary is that? When the lawyer is asking, the scholar of the law is asking, you know, who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells this parable. You know, we've heard all sorts of interpretations of this. Josephus has something I think we should know. He's a historian of the first century. And in the first century, around the time of Jesus, so Jesus is not telling this story in a vacuum, there were a group of Samaritans who waited who waited to attack a group of Jewish people who were going up to the temple to pray at Passover, and slaughtered them on this same road that the Samaritan is. In that same century, for Passover, the Samaritans took bones of the dead, which if you touched anything that was the dead or corpse that wasn't your family member, it made you ritually impure. And they went and dumped it all in the temple right before Passover so that the people of Israel could not celebrate Passover in Jerusalem. These were enemies. These were people they hated. And yet, it's the Samaritan who acts with compassion. See, virtue is not just doing one thing good one time. Virtue is a habit. It's a habit for doing the good. Virtue, as St. Thomas would say it, it's a habit to act according to the purpose or the orientation of what we're made to be. We're made to be in the image and likeness of God. We're made to be for God and in God. And so it's not just about doing the right thing once in a while, but if we have this habit of loving in this kind of radical way, both God and neighbor, one act doesn't change us. Now, one sin actually can change us, so we have to be careful about that. But a habit, even though you say, I'm a really nice person, but I'm always making judgments against other people. I'm a really nice person, but I never pray. I'm a really nice person, but I cheat on my taxes almost every year. Now, we might have in our head that we're a really nice person, but our actions show us through those vices that we're really heading in a different direction. We, however, when we have this habit of loving, in this radical way with Jesus Christ, God and neighbor, we might have hearts that are really cold. But remember, it's not about loving in this way. This compassion about this love of neighbor is not about feeling good about what we're doing. It's about choosing to do the right thing, choosing to do the good thing, because this is who we are. This is who we're called to be. And it has a, and if we do that habit, it changes who we are. We become the virtuous person that our virtuous acts make us to be. So my hope is over the next 7 weeks, you'll stick around. You'll keep coming back. We'll start looking and at our own lives and through these virtues, because there are vices that have to be conquered as well. And the virtue of charity or the virtue of love is not just hate. It's indifference. It's laziness. It's all of those things as well. So if we look at ourselves, where do we need to grow? Where do we need to be better? It's because this is who God has called us to be, a person of virtue, and today, specifically, a person of love.